Chapter 7. The Philosophical Reason. Social commentators have often presented their reasons for the appearance of the modest dress centered around the idea that even in the first principles of nature, no covering or veil has been made to come between males and females. They say that there is no instance in nature where a curtain or veil appears between the male and female sex, or for the female sex to be set aside behind a curtain and to wear a covering. It would appear that there are five reasons given for the appearance of the modest dress. The philosophical reason centers on the tendency towards asceticism and struggling with pleasures in an effort to subdue the ego. The main source for this thought is perhaps India, where a barrier was created between men and women through the pursuance of asceticism, because a woman is the highest form of lustful pleasure giving. If men were to mix freely with women, according to this idea, a man would mainly pursue this and his society would remain underdeveloped in other areas. Therefore, he had to struggle to conquer his own soul by denying it enjoyment of sexual pleasures. Other things which, like women, cause lust to arise within the human being are also struggled against, such as the resistance towards cleanliness or encouragement of messiness and filth. Do not think that some people chose this because of carelessness on their part or because of recklessness or lack of concern. It was rooted in a philosophy which confirmed and even extended it. As Bertrand Russell mentions in his book, Marriage and Ethics, in the early stages of Christianity, this kind of thinking developed through St. Paul when celibacy was encouraged and moved a large number of people towards the wilderness to destroy Satan. Then, he says that the church even rose in opposition to taking a bath because the body leads to sin. The church applauded uncleanliness and a smelly body took on the smell of sanctity. According to St. Paul, cleanliness of the body opposed cleanliness of the spirit, and lice come to be considered as pearls of God. Then it occurred to me that having long hair among the Phocians, who, as you know, practiced asceticism and remained celibate from women, was for this very reason. They say that in the past, whether or not it is true, whosoever shortened or cut the hair of the body, that person's sexual instincts were strengthened. Thus, with this reasoning, long hair would lessen sexual desires. This idea existed in the past, and perhaps it is true that if a person were to cut or shorten or shave all the hair on one's body, one would increase one's sexual desires. Then the Indians and the Sikhs who forbid the cutting of their hair could have been for this very reason, because they were practicing asceticism. Some have said that the reason why the modest dress was found in the world, in an absolute sense, was because the idea of asceticism appeared. Then they ask why asceticism was found or began to develop among people. They have mentioned two reasons for this. First, because among the deprived class, there were people who carried on with women, had beloveds, and then their beloveds were taken away from them. A kind of hatred for women suddenly developed in them, in particular, where women themselves conspired against them. Thus, a hatred developed against women. They essentially began to seek celibacy and asceticism and would propagate to the extent possible against women. This they developed as a philosophy of the priests. The second reason given for the appearance of desire for asceticism is the opposite of the first. Persons who were very extreme in their sexual practices, an extent which even exceeded the limits of nature, and persons who turned to drugs or stimulators or things, so that they were continuously stimulated in one way or another, would suddenly turn away from sex. It can be seen in human nature that sometimes when one does something to an extreme limit, one then turns completely away from it, even if it was something pleasurable. If something is imposed, a revulsion towards it can develop. At the end of their lives, they develop a hatred for sexual activity. History more or less confirms this in the lives of sultans who had spent their lives in carnal pleasures and harems. At the end of their lives, because of the extremity of their behavior, a hatred for it developed within them. They say it produced immense exhaustion within them and created a sense of antagonism and rivalry against women. At any rate, they say that the modest dress and the barrier between men and women was caused by the appearance of the idea of seeking asceticism. The materialists who wanted to justify asceticism and ascetic practices said that it was for one of these two reasons. As to these two reasons, we do not say that none of these existed in the world. They could have been, and these causes might have had these effects, but Islam, as we will mention later, established the modest dress. It did not exist during the Age of Ignorance in Arabia. We have to see whether or not these causes have been mentioned in Islam and have been given as proof, or other reasons have been given for it. Does this precept conform with other Islamic precepts? Does the Islamic spirit of asceticism conform with the concept of asceticism which we have mentioned? We will see that Islam has never presented this point of view and, as a matter of fact, Islam has struggled greatly against this view. Even non-Muslims agree that Islam never promoted asceticism and ascetic practices. The concept that began among Hindus and extended to Christianity did not exist in Islam. It is clear that whatever Islam brought to the concept of the modest dress, this reason was not one of them. Islam has emphasized cleanliness. Rather than considering lice to be God's pearls, it said, cleanliness stems from faith. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, saw a person whose hair was disheveled, whose clothes were dirty, and he presented a bad appearance. He said, pleasure and taking advantage of God's blessings is part of religion. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, the worst servants of God are those who are dirty. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, God is beautiful and he loves beauty. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, God is beautiful and he loves his creatures to embellish themselves and reflect their beauty. The reverse is also true. He considers poverty and pseudo-poverty to be enemies. If God has given you a blessing, the effect of that blessing must be shown in your life. They asked him, how should the blessing of God be shown? He said, by the clothes of a person being clean, smelling good, whitening their house with stucco, sweeping in front of their house and lighting their lamps before sunset, which will add to its splendor of their home. In the oldest books we have available, such as Kafi, which has been used for 1,000 years, there is a section called Bab-e-i wa Tajammul. Here Islam has strongly emphasized combing the hair, keeping it short, making use of perfumes and oiling one's hair. In order to perform their worship better and in order to gain greater spiritual pleasures, a group of companions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, left their wives and children. They fasted during the day and performed worship at night. As soon as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, learned of this, he prevented them from continuing, saying, I, who am your leader, do not do this. I fast on some days and on others, I do not. I worship a part of the night and I spend other parts of it with my wives. This group then asked the Prophet's permission to castrate themselves. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, did not give his permission. He said that this was forbidden in Islam. One day three women went to the Prophet. They complained about their husbands. One said that her husband did not eat meat. Another said that her husband shunned perfume. The third said that her husband distanced himself from her. The Prophet of God, peace be upon him and his progeny, suddenly became angry, threw down his cloak, left his house and went to the mosque. He went upon the minbar and cried out, what should be done with a group of my friends who put meat, perfume and women aside? I myself eat meat. I smell perfume and I receive pleasure from my wives. Whoever objects to my methods is not from among me. The command was given to shorten the length of dress because the custom among the Arabs was to wear dresses which were so long that they swept the streets. Because of cleanliness, one of the first verses revealed to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, was, and thy garments, keep free from stain. 74-4. Also, the encouragement to wear white clothes is, first of all, because of beauty and secondly, because of cleanliness. White clothes show off dirt sooner. This has been indicated in the traditions. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny wanted to meet his companions, he would first look in a mirror, comb his hair, and check his appearance. He said, "God loves his servants who, when they are going to see their friends, make themselves ready and look nice. That is, wear white clothes because they are more beautiful and cleaner." The Holy Quran says that the creation of means of embellishment are among the kindnesses that God shows his creatures, and it severely criticizes those who deny themselves the beauties of this world. The Holy Quran says, "Who has forbidden the beautiful gifts of God which he has produced for his servants, and the things, clean and pure, which he has provided for sustenance?" 732. Islamic traditions say that the pure Imams consistently debated with the Sufis, and referring to this very verse of the Holy Quran, invalidated their deeds. The legitimate pleasures which spouses receive from each other are considered to be blessings in Islam, among the divine rewards. It is perhaps difficult for foreigners to understand this concept, and perhaps they reflect to themselves, how strange that they call this filthy act a blessing, a spiritual reward. It is surprising for a Hindu or a Christian to realize how much spiritual reward there is in performing the ritual bath, ghusl, after sexual intercourse and washing away the sweat which has been created by this act. Islam has placed many limitations on the issues, but within the area that has been limited, not only does it not forbid it, but it encourages it, and it has even presented the kindness and compassion of women as being among the qualities upheld by God's Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny. There is a tradition which says, within the nature of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, is their love of woman. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, straightaway forbids the seeking of asceticism and ascetic practices at the beginning of Islam, practices which may have been in imitation of monks. What a great encouragement has been given to women. In the same way that they are encouraged to limit their contacts with men who are not their husbands, they are encouraged to adorn themselves for their husbands. A woman who does not do so is even cursed. A woman must make herself beautiful for her husband. At the same time, husbands are encouraged to cleanliness. Hassan ibn Jam said, "I went to see Musa ibn Jafar, peace be upon him, and saw that he has used hair dye on his hair. I said, 'Have you made use of henna?' He said, 'Yes.' A man's use of henna and his dressing well increases the chastity of his wife. Some women lose their chastity because their husbands do not dress well for them." In another tradition of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, one of the reasons he gives for Jewish women committing adultery was because their husbands were so filthy that their wives sought men who were clean and well groomed. Uthman ibn Mazun was one of the recorders of the traditions of the Holy Prophet. He wanted to put this world aside in imitation of the monks and forbid himself sexual pleasures. His wife went to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, and said, "O Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny of God, Uthman fasts every day and he gets up every night for prayer." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny became angry and went to him. Uthman was performing his ritual prayer. The Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny waited until his ritual prayer had ended. He then said, "O Uthman, God has not sent me to institute monasticism and asceticism. God has sent me to introduce the divine law, which is primordial and simple, and to tell people about the return to God. I perform my ritual prayers. I fast and I also have relations with my wives. Whosoever loves religion which coincides with my primordial nature must follow what I do. Marriage is one of my customs." Clearly, this philosophy of asceticism cannot be attributed to Islam. This philosophy might have existed in some places in the world, but it does not conform to Islam. Chapter 8. The Social Reason. Another cause which has been given for the observance of the modest dress is the sense of insecurity. They say that the modest dress appeared because of the lack of security which had developed. There were times in history when those who had power and force held the keys to everything. If people had money, property and wealth, for instance, if aristocrats had jewels, they had to hide them so that none would know what they had, because whenever it became known what so-and-so had, powerful persons would forcibly take it away. People who had great wealth would hide it. They would hide it so well, even from their own children, that when they died no one knew where it was. They were afraid to tell their children for fear they would tell their friends, etc., and then everyone would know what they had. The person would then die, and thus everything that he had remained hidden. Lack of security was very extensive in the past. Just as there was no security in relation to wealth and property, there was no security in relation to women either. Just as men were obliged to hide their money and their wealth, they were obliged to hide their women. History records that in Sasanian Iran, the high priests and princes would seek out and take any beautiful girl that they heard about. The idea of the modest dress then was to hide women so that no other man would come to know about her. Will Durant, in his Story of Civilization, writes about the situation in ancient Iran. Count Gobineau also wrote about the modest dress. The modest dress which presently exists in Iran basically relates to pre-Islamic Iran and not Islamic Iran. He believes the difference between the modest dress in Iran and the modest dress in other places is the national character of Iranians. Thus, in ancient Iran, as history tells us, the men had no assurance with regard to their women. I read a story about the time of Anushiravan the Just, who had a major in his army, and even though the major had hidden his wife, word of her beauty had spread. One day when the major was out of town, Anushiravan went to this wife and then he returned to his palace. The woman told her husband. The man saw that not only would he now lose his wife, but his own life as well if he tried to keep her. He let her go. Anushiravan was informed that Major so-and-so had divorced his wife. When he saw the major, he said, "I understand you had a beautiful garden and that you sold it. Why?" The major said, "Your Majesty, I saw footprints of a lion in the garden, and I was afraid the lion would eat me." He laughed and said, "No. That lion will not be found in that garden again." Thus, there was no security. Everyone lived in fear, and because of this, they say one of the causes for the appearance of the modest dress was insecurity. Then they say that this cause no longer exists. No one takes another's wife through force. Therefore, since insecurity in this sense no longer exists, there is no reason for the modest dress. Just as people can now put their money in the bank where no one will touch it, there is security. Since security exists, there is presently no need for the modest dress. Wave to compare this with the philosophy of Islam. Was the reason Islam brought the modest dress because of this question of security? When we look at the issue, we see that neither in Islamic analyses has such an issue appeared, nor does it conform with history. The modest dress did not exist among the Arab Bedouins during the Age of Ignorance, and, at the same time, security existed, that is, at the same time that individual insecurity and aggression against women had attained the greatest extent possible in Iran and women covered themselves. This type of aggression did not exist among individuals in the tribes in Arabia. The very tribal character protected the women. The security which did not exist among the tribes was social or group security, and covering does not solve this kind of problem. When two tribes fought, they not only took the men, but the women, their children. Our discussion will center on the issue of the modest dress, hijab, in Islam, but as we have mentioned, we must first hold a more general discussion, because the modest dress is not exclusive to Islam. That is, it is not the idea that the modest dress appeared for the first time in the world with Islam. It existed before Islam among ancient peoples other than the Arab nations. It existed in ancient India and in ancient Iran as well. The modest dress which ancient India and Iran had was much stricter than that which Islam brought. Of course, if we take the Arabian Peninsula into consideration, the Islamic modest dress was established, not imitated. That is, Islam imported the modest dress into the Arabian Peninsula, but it existed in non-Arab lands throughout the world. It is a phenomenon which existed during non-Islamic times. Philosophical, social, economic, ethical and psychological reasons have been given as the cause for the development of this phenomenon, and as to how it happened that the modest dress came to appear in history among people. It is necessary to mention these reasons because they have said that these are the causes for the appearance of the modest dress and that it first appeared because of certain very particular conditions which existed in those times. Conditions whereby it was, perhaps, necessary for it to be, but now that those conditions no longer exist, there is no reason for the modest dress. Thus, we have to see what the reasons mentioned are, whether or not they are the real causes, or is it, as some people say, that which caused the modest dress to come into being was unjust. Is it that from the very beginning the modest dress itself was imposed upon women? If this is so, they conclude that this is even more reason why it should never have come into being. In the last discussion we mentioned two reasons, one of which was the sense of insecurity. We said that this has been mentioned as a reason for women wearing the modest dress. The other reason mentioned was the sense of asceticism, the sense of struggling against sexual urges. This is something which existed in the world, in both the East and the West. In the East, one of its largest centers was India, and in the West, Greece. Chapter 9. The economic reason. Another reason given for the modest dress is that they have said that the modest dress developed because of economics, and of course, it was to exploit women. As a result of this, it is unjust. They came and divided things this way. They said history shows that there have been four eras in the relations between men and women, including the present age. The first age of humanity, according to this view, was a communal age with reference to sex. That is, essentially no family life existed. The second era was when men dominated over women and women were seen as their slaves and a means to serve men. The second era, then, was the era of ownership by man. The third era was the age when women arose in objection to men, and the fourth era is the era of equality of rights between men and women. The first era, the communal age, they say, relates to prehistory. The era of ownership is the longest era that history has recorded where man dominated over woman, and they identify Islam as an example of this era. The third era, which is known as the era of rebellion, occurred in the second half of the 19th century. The fourth era is the one which more or less has appeared or is appearing. It is the era seeking complete equality between men and women's rights. It is clear that these eras were developed from what others said about economics, which refers to the various eras of humanity, with the first era being communal, then the feudal era, the era of capitalism and the era of communism. That which they have mentioned as to the economic causes for the appearance of the modest dress does not relate whatsoever to these economic stages mentioned by others. These four stages expressed in this manner are all erroneous. There are no facts regarding the first era which they mention as being communal. There is no evidence that family life did not exist from the very beginning. We do not intend to go into detail about these eras, but simply to refer to the fact that they say the modest dress relates to the era when men dominated over women. If we do not accept that era, they say that it resulted from men being the mediator for women. A man hired a woman for his own purposes. He kept her in his home to do his work. He left some of his work for a woman to do for him. This was similar to when they imprisoned slaves and prevented them from leaving to better perform the work of their master. Men saw that it would be to their advantage to put women behind a curtain and prevent their comings and goings, so that they would better undertake the work of the house which had been given to them to do. Thus, men did this in order for them to have hired women from the economic point of view and to have turned them into an instrument. Otherwise, there was no reason to do such a thing. Wherever the modest dress has appeared, it was accompanied by such a situation of the employing of women by men to work in the house. Is it true that was reason existed in those places in the world where the modest dress appeared? We do not deny that perhaps in some corners of the world this situation existed. If men prevented women from leaving their home and prevented others from seeing them in whatever form, if men imprisoned women, the roots of such a cause might have been economic. However, we are discussing Islam. Islam, on the one hand, established and brought the modest dress and, on the other, very directly stated something which is among the very clear aspects of Islam, which is that a man has absolutely no right to gain economically from a woman. That is, a woman has economic independence. Great emphasis has been given to this issue. That is, a man has no right to benefit economically in any way whatsoever from a woman. The jobs of a woman belong to her. If, within the home itself, work is given to a woman to do if she so desires. But if a woman were to say, "No, I won't do that," a man has no right to force her to do it. A woman is free in whatever work she does. In the first place, she has a right to refuse, a man has no right to order her to do something. Secondly, if she says, "I will do this for such and such a wage," she has a right to receive a wage, in the case of nursing her child, for instance. Even though a mother has priority to nurse her own child, she still has a right to obtain a wage for it. Her priority is in the sense that if another woman wanted to nurse her child and says, "I will take 1,000 rials a month to nurse the child," the mother herself says, "One will not take more than that," then the mother has priority to nurse the child unless the other woman, for some reason, is more suitable. A woman has a right to work outside the home as long as it does not harm the family environment. Whatever she earns belongs to her alone, no matter what legitimate work she performs. It must be clearly recognized, then, that Islamic precepts do not intend for the modest dress to be a means to economically exploit women. If this had been the intention, the rulings would have reflected this. For instance, the precepts would have stated that a man has the right to employ his wife in his home and a woman must wear the modest dress. Then these two things would have been connected. A system which states that a man has no right to exploit a woman but, on the other hand, that same system has established the modest dress, clearly, then, did not establish the modest dress to exploit women. We do not think, either, that this reason was a very major one, for wherever in the world the modest dress existed, but some Iranians who have written against the laws of Islam have greatly stressed this point. That is, they say, in order for men to be able to keep women in their homes to exploit them and to turn them into their own tools, they imprisoned them. This is one reason they have given, and as we have stated, this reason in no way conforms with Islam. Chapter 10. The ethical reason. Another reason they have given for the appearance of the modest dress has an ethical aspect. That is, it relates to the character and nature of individual. They say it stems from the selfishness of men and men's jealousy. A man dominated over a woman so that he could enjoy her exclusively himself, so that no other man would share with him, not only in sexual intercourse but in everything. He wanted to monopolize a woman so that the touching of her body and even the viewing of her be exclusively his privilege. That is, a type of excessive greed which existed in men caused them to present the modest dress. Russell says just this. He says that human beings have been able, to a certain extent, to dominate over their greed for wealth in such a way that they later encouraged charity and sharing one's table with others because these related to wealth. They came to regard excessive greed as something disagreeable in human beings, but they were not able to control their greed for sex in the same way. Thus, they came and changed the name of this to manliness or zeal. They considered jealousy and greed under this name to be a virtue, whereas if charity is good and if it is good in relation to wealth, it should be good in relation to women as well, or else it is wrong in both areas. How is it that when it comes to something that belongs to a person, it is good to be generous and liberal with it, but then when it relates to women, it is evil? No, there is absolutely no difference between them. If it is good, It is good for both, and if it is bad, it relates to both. In the first place, it is not right to compare having a wife to having property. Secondly, from our point of view, there is a difference between jealousy and zeal, passion, fervor or ardency, gerat. We believe them to be two different feelings. Zeal is a natural instinct given to humanity. It is a collective word. That is, its roots are to preserve society, not an individual. It is like a policeman that God has placed within humanity to preserve future generations. As we've pointed out, however, much satisfaction a man receives in sexual pleasures, his sense of zeal becomes more weakened along with his sensitivities towards modesty, piety and moral willpower. Lustful men do not object to their wives having affairs, they may even enjoy it and defend such deeds. Whereas the opposite is true of men who struggle against their ego's desires and lust. In this struggle, gathering together their moral forces, they dominate over vices such as greed, envy or the worship of money within themselves. They become what the term human being really means. They then devote themselves to serving people as a sense of providing service to others develops within them. Such men have greater zeal or sense of manliness and are more jealous and protective of women. As a matter of fact, they protect all women in general. That is, their conscience does not permit them to allow any kind of aggression against women in society, for it is as if they were the protectors of all women. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "A noble, zealous person never commits adultery." He did not say a jealous person never commits adultery, but rather a zealous one. Why? Because manliness is a noble, human virtue. It is a human virtue which relates to society and its purity. Just as a zealous man does not allow the corruption of women he is related to, neither is he content to see the women of society being corrupted. This is because zeal is other than jealousy. Jealousy is a personal and individual affair and stems from a series of spiritual beliefs, but zeal is an emotion and a sensitivity which relates to the human species as a whole. The secret of the fact that men have a very great sensitivity towards their wife having sexual intercourse with other men is an instinct which creation gave to every man to preserve future generations. If this did not exist, if the singular affection for children did not exist, not even one individual would be inclined towards reproduction. If this sense of wonder did not exist within the human being to protect and guard the place of seed so that other seeds, which are similar, would not fall there, the relation between the sexes would be completely cut off. No one would know their father and no father would know his child, whereas the connection between one generation to another is one of the principles of human society. If it did not exist, there would be no society. Human beings have been given an instinct which is the basis for the preservation of society, and that instinct is this: women are desirous of preserving their generations and so are men, but women are protected as a result. When a child is born, it is clear who its mother is and the mother knows her child. Even if she were to have intercourse with 1,000 men, she would know that the future generations are assured, but men are not reassured in this way unless they have guarded that woman and created some precautions whereby they are assured of their fatherhood. Can a person say that we must eliminate this instinct called zeal which exists within human beings? And that this is the same thing as jealousy? This is something which even those who have a community type of living as far as property is concerned have not said in relation to women.